Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, it is a pleasure live from Los Angeles. It's called The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. Thanks for joining us today. There's a lot of choices out there for you. All of them inferior to this one, of course. But nonetheless, we do appreciate your patronage to all our advertisers, so forth, so much. Love in the room today. Feeling really good about this show. A lot of good things happening. I don't want to get into it right now, but I feel a little bit like the Buffalo Bills right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's how good.
Riding high. So today's a big day for you.
Why?
Well, your birthday's tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Birthday's tomorrow. Yeah. They're not as much fun when you get into your 50s. I'm not going to lie to you. I got cracked ribs.
Birthdays.
I got tendonitis.
How are your ribs, by the way?
Actually, today, I've been eating like 2 bananas a day. Because of potassium,
right.
And doing smoothies, milk and potassium. That's, I don't know if that matters. So there's a doctor listening to this that thinks I'm a total idiot. But
you
I'm
still
like,
haven't talked to an actual doctor about it?
No. What's cracked ribs? What's he going to say? He's going to poke him and go, "Is this hurt?" Boom. I'm going to go, yeah.
I mean, but he or she might have a better suggestion for how to approach your rehabilitation process.
I know what doctors say. Get some rest.
Colin, you sound a lot like a lot of people out there today, and I wish more people would talk to doctors. But if you're feeling better, I guess it's working.
Well, my ribs feel a little better today. So we call it the Herd Hierarchy, and this is our final one of the regular season. Here we go.
Herd Hierarchy.
Time is now. Let's go.
The top 10 NFL teams according to Colin. Number 10.
Well, I left a lot of good teams out, but I'm going to give Cleveland number 10. And the reason being is Kevin Stefanski and this offensive line. Now, they have a negative point differential. You're not going to win playoff games with a negative point differential. It's hard to get to the playoffs and have that. And they're the only playoff team of the 14 with that. And so it tells you when they win, it's narrow. When they lose, it's ugly. But their offensive line, which will now be missing their top guard, was the top rated. And I do think they do a good job mostly of masking their bad and young secondary by controlling the line of scrimmage. So they are number 10.
Number 9.
Pittsburgh Steelers, and I've been rough on them all year. But I've always had a rule in the NFL. Here's how you win. Find a quarterback, protect him, and then get players who will attack their quarterback. And the Steelers right now have the fewest sacks taken in the NFL 14, and yet they have the most sacks, 56, given, meaning they protect their quarterback and they get after yours. Quarterbacks that faced the Steelers this year had a passer rating of 76. That is astounding. So for all the running game issues I have, they protect their quarterback and they sack yours, and that puts them at number 9.
Number 8.
Seattle is a very shaky number 8 and a very shaky number 3 seed. First of all, Russell Wilson, 2 of the last 3 games, under 200 yards passing. They are struggling throwing the football. Worst passing offense in the entire league over the last 3 weeks. Do they snap out of it? I certainly wouldn't want the playoffs to be a place where I find my passing game. Jamal Adams is now dinged up back into the secondary. There's so much I like about this team. I do not like where they're at. I don't like the Rams matchup, which is a ferocious defense, a great coach, and you just beat them a couple weeks ago, so they know exactly what you do. I think this is a possible upset by the Rams this weekend.
Number 7.
A team I haven't shown any love to. Finally, the Colts are in. Here's the thing, is that we know their defense and their coaching's good, but they couldn't really run the football, and that's what they have to do with Phillip Rivers. And with no preseason, it took them forever to figure out their running game. They figured it out in the last month. They've won 6 of 8. They figured out Jonathan Taylor spearheads behind this great offensive line, a running game, and I think this is the key to them, is they take the ball away from Phillip, who's pretty good on scripted plays in the first half, but if you ask him to be dynamic in the second, you're very limited. Jonathan Taylor with no preseason. It took him until November, now into December. in January. I like the Colts at 7.
Number 6.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I am worried because they are 1-5 against playoff teams. We're not very good at night. Maybe Brady goes to bed early. But they are very good against the run. They take big chances defensively. I like that. They're aggressive sometimes to a fault. And you can't deny that Tom Brady is hot. Antonio Brown, remember about 4 or 5 games, we couldn't figure out what he was. They figured out how to integrate him into the offense. When Ronald Jones is healthy, they have a very explosive running back. Brady's got 40 touchdown passes this year, the most in Bucs history. And let's be honest, and you can't, Bruce Arians and Tom Brady have a lot of playoff experience, and that accounts for something.
Number 5.
Baltimore. Everybody sold their stock. I didn't. 200-plus rushing yards in 4 of their last 5 games. Only team in the NFL that averages more rushing than passing yards. I'm okay with that because they have an identity. They know what they are. This year, they're playing with no pressure. Don't tell me Lamar Jackson, who's younger than Joe Burrow, isn't getting better. He was better in the red zone this year. Every year, Lamar got a little bigger in year 2. Now he's a little better in the red zone. And, you know, every time I show highlights of Lamar Jackson, he's throwing touchdown passes. Don't tell me he can't throw. Doesn't throw like Justin Herbert. It doesn't throw like Kyler Murray. But don't tell me he can't throw. He can, and situationally, I think this team is a nightmare because you cannot duplicate them at practice all week with Lamar's special talent.
Number 4.
Kansas City. My eyes tell me something's not right. Yes, they're 4-0 against playoff teams. So I know they've got the ability to pop. But folks, Mahomes, 4 straight games with a passer rating under 100, longest of his career. They're the worst red zone defense. They don't run the ball consistently. And I just don't feel they're playing particularly well right now. There's something doesn't look right to me. And it can be running back health. It could, Mahomes maybe is not 100%. There's something not meshing on this offense. They've become very dependent on the big explosive play, and those are harder to get against better teams and coaches and rosters in the playoffs.
Number 3.
Green Bay Packers. They did answer the physicality question this year with Tennessee. They don't beat themselves. They have the fewest giveaways in the NFL. They don't get penalized much. They don't give you the ball, so you have to beat them. And they're a great team with a lead. Because with Aaron Jones and play action, you don't want to fall behind against Green Bay. And frankly, that's what everybody's doing. Because Matt LaFleur, he did it last year as a rookie, and this year too, very good on script. He's very good at dialing up plays and scripting the first 15 of the game, and they take leads, and they're hard to beat because they've got, at times, a pretty decent pass rush, Packers 3.
Number 2.
Saints, best roster in the NFL. 20-plus points in 24 straight games. We talk about the Chiefs' offense, but actually this one's actually more consistent. Just the weapons, Alvin Kamara and Drew Brees and Taysom Hill and Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. But it's the defense that's amazing. Top 5 in scoring, rushing, pass defense. This is really a story of defense, even with all those weapons. And again, I get Sean Payton, Drew Brees' experience in the postseason.
Number 1.
3rd, 4 straight week, Buffalo Bills. I'm just going to give you a little something to simmer on for you Chiefs fans. They're the first team in the NFL to win their last 3 games by over 25 points entering the playoffs since the 96 Packers who won the Super Bowl. When you're good and you're on fire, you are no fun to play. They can attack you from any angle. Stephon Diggs was the best wide receiver. Allen looks like the best quarterback in the league. They're protecting him. They can run when they need to. They're excellent situationally on defense late in games. What they did to Miami was jaw-dropping. Everybody struggled against Miami's defense. They dropped a 50-burger on them for the 3rd, maybe 4 straight week. I think Buffalo, the Bills, and the Bills Mafia, number 1 team in the NFL, and that's where we stand today. By the way, I was this morning, as I'm prone to do, I was texting important NFL executives. So it's interesting. We were looking at the NFL draft order. Everybody's doing mock drafts now. It's you know how at the beginning of the year I said nobody needs a, you know, it's like almost nobody needs a quarterback. And then you get to the end of the year, and I looked at the top 15 teams drafting in the NFL this year. Two, I'm absolutely sure, would never take a quarterback. Bengals at 5, Chargers at 13. The Giants at 11 won't, because Dave Gettleman, if he did, would have to acknowledge I screwed up drafting Daniel Jones. But Daniel Jones has got about 6 more games with Joe Judge, and Joe's going to be done with it. He has a major fumbling issue, and he can't get over it. But it's amazing how many teams could potentially draft a quarterback. And here's what's interesting. I saw Mel Kiper's story this morning where he said the Jets should stick with Sam Darnold over Justin Fields. Translation, this number 2 pick is valuable. So I was on the phone this morning with 2 NFL execs. So San Francisco, a story this weekend was that the Niners are moving off Jimmy Garoppolo. That was a story by a legitimate NFL reporter. They're not happy with Garoppolo. They're going to seek alternatives. Number one. Number two is the Niners see themselves as a win-now proposition. They've got the players. In fact, how long could George Kittle last? They need some secondary help and a quarterback they trust. So let's just do a hypothetical. Mel Kiper saying, keep Darnold, accumulate picks. So I asked 2 different front office execs in the NFL, what could the Jets get as the number 2 team if the number 12 pick San Francisco moved up? And both said Jets have a ton of leverage, because if the Niners are drafting a cornerback, not as much, but a quarterback, the Jets have a ton of leverage. I got multiple number 1 picks and probably like a 3rd. So you'd get next year and the year after, you'd probably get number 1 picks. But even this year, because the Niners don't have a first-round pick to give you this year, if you kept Darnold, you'd have 2 first-round picks this year, 2 third-round picks this year. Niners don't have a 3rd to give you this year. If you move down to 12 from 2, and you got a 2nd this year from the Niners and 2 firsts for a quarterback, you'd have 2 firsts, 2 seconds, 2 thirds this year. Then you'd get 2 firsts and 2 thirds the following year. Capiche? Following me? The bottom line is Joe Douglas had a good draft. You're giving Sam Darnold 6 starters this year. You can solve your cornerback issue and your O-line issue right there. So I think they're going to draft Justin Fields, but Kiper says basically Darnold's got something. It looks like they have the one thing the Jets have now is a very competent Joe Douglas GM. He had a very good draft. You can get a lot for that pick. Now, the question is, when you have all those draft picks, some won't hit, and they're all young. So you cross your fingers that you get a camp, an OTA, and preseason, so you're ready to go. If you did pandemic again, you know, then you're just crossing your fingers the guys can hit by October or November. But it's an interesting proposition. I guess my point being that we talk about who doesn't need a quarterback to start the year. I look at the top 15 picks. Chargers, Bengals, Giants, probably no. Jags, Jets, Dolphins. I've said if I was Atlanta, I would draft a quarterback. Philadelphia, according to one mock draft, Pro Football Focus, they're taking a quarterback. Detroit, Carolina. I mean, Dallas probably doesn't, but Andy Dalton might find himself with other opportunities. Man, it's... Jet, that number 2 pick, if you keep Sam Darnold, you have massive leverage. You're going to get a couple of firsts, maybe a 2nd. You got a lot of leverage. I got a couple of buddies coming up on the show. Former Patriot quarterback coach Jed Fish, now the coach of the Arizona Wildcats, going to be joining me. Bucky Brooks, too. Eric Dickerson, Josh Norman of the Buffalo Bills today.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Two title matches are on tap as Big E defends his Intercontinental title and the Street Profits battle Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode for the SmackDown Tag Team titles. An all-new Friday Night SmackDown, live at 8 Eastern on Fox.
I just got a paperweight from the WWE. My wife was fascinated with it last night. It's massive.
It is. It's like this big.
Yeah, and it's Andre the Giant's ring size. And I'm not joking when I say this. You cannot believe it. So it's basically a paperweight based on the size of Andre the Giant's ring finger.
No.
I'm not lying.
That's impossible.
You've seen it, right?
Yes, it's his fingers are the size of softballs.
Go fight, Alex. Go find a picture of Andre the Giant grasping a beer can.
It's literally this big around.
No, I want Alex.
But his finger?
You cannot believe. Yes.
His fingers are this big.
I'm just, yes.
No.
So, Alex, get on that.
What, does it say that when they sent it to you?
No, but I text the person who sent it. I said, what is this? He said, a paperweight. I said, is there a connection to Andre the Giant? And he said, good catch. It's the size of his, it would be like a ring.
I have to rewatch this video now.
Okay. It's on my Instagram. I'm very popular.
Yes, very.
All right. So is Bucky Brooks, former NFL player, scout. All that stuff is joining us now live. A Fox Sports NFL analyst. All these mock drafts coming out. By the way, so we have six job openings. And I said, what I want is a non-meddling owner, a good quarterback, and roster cap flexibility. The Chargers feels like, to me, by far and away the best job. You tell me, is it?
Yeah, I think it is the best job out there because you do have a quarterback in Justin Herbert who has shown you that he can play at a star level. You have defensive pieces in Joey Bosa, Derwin James, some of the other young players. So, yeah, I think someone who has a nice plan can come into L.A. and quickly get this team up to snuff because they have the talent to be able to compete with the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah, they need to fix some little things on the offensive line. But from a talent standpoint, this team should be ready to go. It should be a quick fix for the next coach.
You know, I said this earlier that if you went to a restaurant and had three bad meals in a row, you would not say that's a well-run restaurant. If you went to a car dealership and had three bad experiences, you wouldn't say, well, it's well-run. The Eagles now, 3 years removed from the Super Bowl, are a losing team in a bad division. They're noisy. They're public. They're becoming the Jets with a better record. I look at them, and we subscribe to they know what they're doing. They're very well run. Since the Super Bowl, Bucky, they don't look well run to me. This Doug Peterson thing feels like a public mess.
Look, it hasn't gone well since they won the Super Bowl. And I think it's hard. Once you win the Super Bowl, everyone begins to kind of chime in and figure out to try and determine who deserves credit for the success. I think the organization is at a crossroads right now. Doug Peterson has to recapture the locker room. They have to reestablish the culture of the franchise. They have to figure out what's going on with Carson Wentz and make a decision on who is going to be their quarterback going forward. And then they have to get it right when it comes to the draft. This is a team that needs their young players in this next class to come in and make an immediate impact. So, yeah, I can't knock you for saying that it hasn't gone well for the Eagles. Right now they have to hit the reset button. They have to get it right going forward.
Listen, one of the reasons I subscribe to the theory that Brady would do well this year is because he had very good aging traits. Diet, work ethic, coachable, focused. He's a compatible personality. One of the reasons I have subscribed to the theory that the Steelers, I have doubts, I don't think Ben shares in those aging habits, diet, focus, off-season. Would you admit today that Brady has surpassed your expectations in Tampa?
Yeah, I would admit that because he was a declining player the last couple of years in New England, and really the Patriots were able to win with their defense and their style of play kind of covering up some of his deficiencies, particularly down the stretch. But in Tampa, he's surrounded by an improved set of weapons on the outside. He has found a way to kind of impress the way that he wants to play on Bruce Arians, and it worked. And with Antonio Brown, Rob Gronkowski, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, they have enough weapons to be able to get it done. That said, we'll see what this looks like in the postseason. They're not a perfect team, but they certainly can win a couple games and make it tough on some of the teams that they could face in the postseason.
So the Browns this morning, I feel bad for. I mean, really do. Here, Stefanski can't coach. They lose their offensive guard. But I will say this, because I do think they're going to – I think it's a tough spot. They got to beat Pittsburgh again. They don't have their coach. Pittsburgh gets to the quarterback, and now they're missing their top pass-blocking offensive lineman. Not going to be a great weekend for the Browns. But I will say this, is that I will give them a pass. If you look at the history of their dysfunction, that making the playoffs was the goal. They are not the Ravens. They are not – you know, they're not – a gold standard. They're not Green Bay. They're not New Orleans. I would make the argument, regardless of this weekend, you have to look at this season as an absolute success. No denying it. Is that right? Fair or right?
Oh, that's absolute. Like, it is an outstanding season by Kevin Stefanski and his coaching staff. They've gotten this team to go into the postseason. When you think about the drought that took place in Cleveland, the fact that they've been able to clean it up so quickly, I think that's the bigger surprise. Because remember, you talked about it being noisy. It was noisy last year with Freddie Kitchens and all of the stuff. Because we expected this team to pop last year. They didn't do it. They come back this year. They're quiet. They're focused. They go about their business in an understated way. And they have a style of play that is conducive for them being a team that is a factor for the long term. Now, they will eventually have to pay the quarterback. And they have to make a decision on how much of Baker's success is a product of his talent and whether it's really a product of the system. Because when you pay him a ton of money, you may lose some of the weapons around him. So you really got to make sure that that valuation is correct. But for the first year, Andrew Berry, Kevin Stefanski, look, man, they get high marks for what they've been able to do with this team.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to put the top 15 draft positions right now, this morning in the NFL, up. And you're a former scout. So I'm going to ask you, I don't need a long explanation, maybe a sentence. I'll give you a team. Do you draft a quarterback? So Jaguars, yes, we know that. Let's get Jaguars out. Draft a quarterback. Jets, draft a quarterback or go O-line. Jets, what do you do?
You take a quarterback because it resets the clock. It gives you a longer run at being able to build a Super Bowl contender.
Okay. Dolphins, three.
Whew, that's a tough one. I think you stick with Tua Tagovailoa, and I think you can auction off the pick for more picks, more players.
Falcons with an expensive old Matt Ryan.
Well, I mean, you're trying to lead me. That would be leading the witness. Yes, you go and get a quarterback because Matt Ryan is near the end of his run. You want to upgrade it, and a new general manager and coach want their own guy.
Okay, Bengals won't. Eagles, six.
Look, they talk about being a quarterback factory. I think you punt on the quarterback right now at six, but I think it is a discussion that you must have when it comes to Carson Wentz or what's behind door number one or door number two.
I agree with you there. Lions at seven.
Yeah, I think it's time. I think you can move. I think Matthew Stafford has value, so I think you can trade Matthew Stafford, bring in a new quarterback, and go forward.
Carolina, eight.
Carolina has to look for a quarterback. The owner has said as much.
Okay.
Dave Tepper's on record talking about needing a quarterback. You need a franchise quarterback.
All right. Now, this is where you and I are going to have a difference of opinion. Denver, nine.
Why are we going to have a difference of opinion?
Because Drew Locke wears me out, man. It's not working for me.
it's not working, but here's the thing. I don't know if they're going to be in position to get a quarterback. I think you stay with Drew Locke for at least another year. John Elway moving up from the general manager role. Vic Fangio staying. I think you sit tight. You give Drew Locke another full year with Pat Shurmur to see if he can be the guy.
Okay. All right, I'm done. That's good. Those are the, you know, by the way, I do think the Jets will draft a quarterback. I do. But, man, I talked to a GM this morning and a vice president. You could get a haul. Bucky, they already have a haul of picks for Jamal Adams. They could get three or four. They don't have a number one pick this year. You could get the Niners number one next year, year after. That's pretty tasty.
That's good. The only thing is, whoever the new head coach, he has to come in with a clear plan for getting Sam Darnold up. Sam Darnold has underachieved to this point,
yep.
And I know everything around him has not been perfect, but I haven't seen enough of the flashes to suggest that he's a franchise quarterback worthy of picking up the fifth-year option and signing him to a deal that's going to be in the $30 million-plus range. He has to show more if a head coach has to say, I feel like I have a system that can help Sam Darnold play at the level that we haven't seen yet.
All right. Good seeing you, Bucky. Thanks for playing along, man. Appreciate it.
All right, Colin. We'll see you.
By the way, go the extra mile. Your very own upfitted Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. Right now, Fox Sports Radio has the Ultimate Rig Sweepstakes until January 24th. Go to foxsportsradio.com. Check it out. Details. These are nice vans. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Doug Peterson has gotten a lot of criticism for benching Jalen Hurts for Nate Sudfeld on Sunday, including some from his own team. The Philadelphia Inquirer is reporting that many Eagles players and coaches were shocked and outraged when Hurts was taken out. Two defensive players reportedly had to be held back from confronting Peterson about the decision. And center Jason Kelce, along with another offensive starter, approached Peterson for an explanation for the move. Miles Sanders talked about it today. He said, "Man, if I'm being honest, nobody liked the decision. Nobody.
All right,
thank
you.
All I can say, really. I don't know who was the main person behind that decision. All I know is that a lot of the people on the team were confused."
Yeah, by the way, all these supporters of the Eagles, hey, Peterson had told people, well, he didn't tell the players. Folks, look at the body language of Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia players on the sideline. The body language, I mean, you know, you go on a date, you go for a job interview. Body language tells you a lot. If you watch the sideline reactions to the move, they were all like, I mean, Jalen Hurts was like the side eye. He was like, what, this isn't right.
That quote's from Sports Radio WIP.
So Miles Sanders said that.
Yes. Look, here's the thing. I mean, you kind of said it yesterday. There's only so many ways you can say something before we start to think that you're not telling the truth. Like, all the media is upset. Your own players don't understand and are upset. The Giants are certainly upset. Other coaches, fans, everyone's confused. So clearly this was not a conversation that was had ahead of time. This is not something anyone was prepared for.
No.
You could see Jalen Hurts on the sideline. I thought he was doing a really good job of keeping his face together. I am not really good at that. So kudos, because I wear my emotions on my sleeve. I wouldn't be able to contain myself.
Yeah, no, it just Jalen Hurts and that offensive line, they kept panning the sidelines. Nobody, as Miles Sanders said, nobody was down for it. Nobody.
Well, this is why, and I say it all the time, coaches and players do not tank. Yeah. Doug Peterson feels comfortable and safe in his position. So that's why he felt the need to do that, because either he chose to do that because he was tanking, or ownership or the GM sent that message down that this is what needs to happen. No one cares about that pick. And I mean, man, talk about putting some pressure on that pick now. Like, now you better hope that pick is really great and you make the right decision. It just was one of those things where it just goes in the face of competition. It sucked for fans, sucked for everyone on the field. It's not a good look. So Cam Newton did not have the season he was hoping for in New England, but he still thinks he's a starting quarterback in the league and stopped short of saying he would accept a backup role.
Honestly, it's too early to tell, and that's as honest as I could be. Do I think I have starting talent? Absolutely. Do I think a lot of things that I've done were devalued in not the team's perspective, probably the media's perspective? Absolutely. I understand that if given the opportunity, there is nobody better than me.
Well, the market will decide. It won't really be Cam's decision.
Right.
Teams will call his agent and say, we want you. So,
well, it'll be similar to what happened before he came to the Patriots.
Right.
Like, I felt like there was a market for him. I felt like he could still play. But the NFL is going to decide that. Now, I mean, just going down that list with Bucky a few minutes ago of how many teams need quarterbacks, there's not that many quarterbacks in the draft. So
no.
So while those teams all may like to take a quarterback, I don't know if all those teams are spending a first-round pick on the quarterbacks that are available. I mean, you get down to 4, 5, 6, like you're taking massive risks there.
And you also
in
have a bunch
first
of
round.
You also have a bunch of aging quarterbacks, Breeze and Ben and Rivers, and there's spots available if you're healthy.
There's definitely a place. I don't know that it's fair entirely to judge Cam off of what happened in New England. I do think that him being out with COVID played a major role in their season.
Their season was it was a mess. None of it was good.
And they don't have good pieces. I mean, there's a reason why Brady wasn't there. So they were 7-9 this season, and they have 7 picks in this draft. They are going to get the 8 players that opted out back.
Yeah.
So they are going to look a little different next year, what they're going to do at quarterback. I still think Bill Belichick has some magic working behind the scenes that we don't know about. So the Bills are red hot right now, entering the playoffs on a 6-game win streak. So not many people are giving the Colts a chance, but Frank Reich is embracing the underdog mindsets.
Pressure is not on us. We should be in there. We should be loose. We should be aggressive. you know, we should be freed up to just play our best game of the year against a really good football team. No one's going to, you know, I mean, in reality, no one's going to give us a chance.
The Bills are favored by 6.5, according to Fox Bet. You have the Bills as the top team in herd hierarchy.
They're blowing everybody out. Like, they're not even in competitive games.
They
right
are
now.
Rolling, and this feels like a recipe for disaster for the Colts. Well, this is a big game for you.
Yeah, if I lose, I get the mustard gun of the following Monday or Tuesday. Not great.
Yes, so this is a big-time stakes, this Bills-Colts game.
Good stuff, Joy, with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
Yeah, if I lose, I Nick Wright conned me into it. If the Bills can't win a playoff game, I get the mustard gun. Not great. I'm not going to lie to you. It's not one of my career highlights. A buddy of mine, former Patriot quarterback, now the Arizona Wildcat head coach, super smart guys, work with Belichick and Pete Carroll and Jim Harbaugh. Jed Fish, my buddy, next.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Well, Jed Fish on his resume. You know how on your resume you have people like your sort, the people, what do you call that, Joy? References. On his reference, my next guest, his three football references are Sean McVay, Pete Carroll, and Bill Belichick. Mm. And if you want, Mike Shanahan. For the sharp guys, Jed Fish is the new coach, Arizona Wildcats, who has a history of NFL and college. He's putting together a great staff, and he joins me live from Tucson, Arizona. I've learned a lot of football from Jed Fish. First of all, I'm so happy for you. We just talked off the air. I am so happy for you and your family. So if I said to you, because you always told me you took bits and pieces from coaches. If I said, what is the one thing, you just hired Pete Carroll's son as your offensive coordinator. What's the one thing you took from Pete Carroll?
Energy. The guy has incredible positive energy. And the passion that he brings is just phenomenal.
The one thing you took from young Sean McVay?
Work ethic. The guy is an absolute machine. And there's two things, Colin, if you let me with him, is communicator. The guy is a phenomenal communicator, and he's done just an incredible job making sure that everybody knew exactly where they stood at all times.
Bill Belichick holds you in incredibly high regard. Bill Belichick.
Process. The guy, unbelievable in terms of really every aspect of the program and really understanding what it takes, how to get there, what you need to do to accomplish a certain goal, and then how to put it all together.
I think the most underrated coach perhaps of my life is Mike Shanahan, who I've always thought is just an unbelievable coach. Mike Shanahan, what sticks out to you?
Offense. I think if you look at everything right now in the league that people are trying to replicate and emulate, I know you've spoken about Kyle and Matt LaFleur and Sean. They all come from the same system. We all learned that from Mike. And he was ahead of his time, and his offense is still one of the top five offenses in the NFL on probably three of the five teams.
So you were college roommates with Howie Roseman of the Philadelphia Eagles, and I always feel bad for these GMs and coaches that get in the middle of these controversy blenders and they get thrown into it. And your thoughts, not just on the move the Philadelphia Eagles made to take out Jalen Hurts, which I don't think guys loved, but the idea that when you're recruiting now and in the NFL, you know this, you were with New England all year this year, is that players have to trust coaches. Do you think you puncture trust with a move like you saw Philadelphia make?
You know, it's such a unique situation that they have going on over there. What we're trying to do here, we're talking about everything being personal. You know, that's a big message we're telling our guys. It's personal. And I think it comes with building the trust and the relationship with your team, not knowing what went on over there and not knowing the set of circumstances that occurred that might have caused them to make the decisions they make. It's real hard for me to comment on it. But I just know in our situation, as we're trying to build our program, that we want it to be all about building a trust, building a relationship, and really making it personal between the player, the coach, and the team and the teammates around one another.
You know, you also coach with Jim Harbaugh. You know, it's interesting. There's a lot of different ways to win. Harbaugh has more of an eccentric personality. Bill is, he's got the hoodie. He's a little Darth Vader. Sean McVay is massive energy. But yet, they're all successful. And look at the players you're recruiting today, 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds. In your opinion, what's the best mechanism to make it work with? What do players want today, Jed, from a football coach?
Yeah, well, one of the things that we've been talking about with our guys is trying to, you know, take that mentality of we can help make you a pro. And with that, we're talking about being proficient at your task, having a relentless attitude, and being original. And I think that O and original is the key to this whole process, that Bill is the original Bill, and I don't think anyone should try or could try to be Bill. And I feel the same way about Pete. I feel the same way about Coach Harbaugh. I mean, we're all kind of, you know, you get to learn from these guys, and they're tremendous teachers, educators, and leaders of men, but they all do it their own way. And what we're trying to do here at Arizona is do it our way, taking so many different leaders and try to learn from them, but in our own way, be the original team, the original, you know, Arizona football staff of 2021, and really explain to our student athletes and the guys we're trying to recruit, you come here, we'll help make you a pro, but we're going to do it in our own way.
You know, it's interesting. You have Belichick's trust and Pete Carroll. Again, you just hired his son, and Belichick, there'll be somebody on that staff eventually he'll help you with. I look at Bill and I think to myself, listen, he's got the titles, he's got the legacy, he's got his health, he's got the money. How long, you know this, it doesn't matter who you are. If you don't have a quarterback, you cannot win in pro football. You just can't. Pete couldn't. Andy Reid couldn't get over the top. How long does Bill coach, in your opinion?
I would say this, Colin. There is no one that has more competitive stamina than Coach Belichick. He is a relentless worker. He is a phenomenal educator. And I think what Coach does, you know, more than anything, is Coach grooms young coaches. And he educates all of us on, you know, and I try to put myself in the category of still young, but he educates the guys in his program and he helps build it up and teach you how to be, you know, the very best at what you are. And I can't see him having any interest in slowing down. He certainly never did. He was the first one in, and he's an unbelievable teacher and master of football.
You know, I'm a Pac-12 fan. I grew up with it, but the Pac-12 feels more diminished in recent years compared to the love and passion of football in Big Ten and SEC territory. And a lot of my Pac-12 fans are like, it just feels like we're missing an energy. I mean, when you sold yourself for the job, because a lot of people were, this is a Power 5 job. Do you sense that the Pac-12 can turn it around, can get some momentum they've missed for about 5-6 years?
Yeah, we need to. We need to get the momentum, the energy, and it comes from winning, right? Like in everything, that you've got to be competitive. You got to play good football. You got to produce professional athletes. You got to make people proud of what they watch on Saturday. They have to be good, competitive football games. I think when things are going well, we obviously know what it felt like when Coach Carroll was the head coach at USC. There was no doubt, you know, or when Coach Harbaugh was at Stanford. And I think what we need to do is we need to really build that and find a way to get that back and get that energy back. And it really comes from more teams being good, not just one team, not just two teams, but the more teams that can be good, the better the games are every Saturday, that all of a sudden that Pac-12 after dark becomes something that nobody wants to miss and everyone wants to stay up for.
All right. By the way, can you take your computer, show me what you're looking at right now in Tucson? I want to see, because Tucson's a beautiful little place. All right, let's do this.
Here we go. I don't know. Can we do that? Can you see are we out there?
We're
working our way to the mountain ranges, and I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous here, and so lucky to be a part of this program. I mean, it is phenomenal.
Hey, it's great seeing you. Couldn't be happier. I'm going to come down there and ask for free tickets, and you better give me good seats or I'll be really upset.
You got great seats, but we're going to try to pack the place. We're going to have you around
there. Well, Teddy Bruschi is one of my favorite people ever. Bear down, Arizona. You hired the right guy, Jed. Super smart. Pete Carroll's son's going to be on the staff, among others. Good seeing you, Coach.
Thanks. Good seeing you, too. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Yeah, he told me 3 years ago, he said, if Arizona ever comes open, he goes, I know the athletic director. That's an interesting job. Listen, I grew up, they had Dick Tomey. Arizona was a good team. And they had, like, NFL Ricky Hundley, Teddy Bruschi. They had good players.
Great place to live, too.
Nice weather if you like to golf a little bit. It's, you know, Arizona. I don't know if it's rained ever
in Arizona. Tucson. It's
I'm not sure. It's not a big rain.
Southern California isn't a big rain place. It rained last week and everyone was freaking out.
Oh, you would have thought we had an avalanche. Blizzard here.
God, it's raining, guys.
So let's look at that draft order one more time, just quickly. So this is the NFL draft order. The teams we know will take a quarterback: Bucky Brooks, Jacksonville 1, Jets 2, Atlanta 3, we really think Detroit 4, Carolina 5, and San Francisco is interested at 6, and New England absolutely at 50. So you have 7 potential quarterbacks in the top 14, 15. By the way, if I was Minnesota, I'd draft one. I would absolutely draft one.
Are there that many guys?
Nope. That's why there's a market for Jimmy Garoppolo. There's a market for Carson Wentz. There's a market for Sam. That's why there's a market. Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades last 2 times longer than other blades, available only at Walmart. Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades, built for extreme weather. They repel water, sleet, snow, rain, ice. Hour 3, Eric Dickerson,